they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided.
First Pentecostal Billerica. I'm going to ask in the back, Miss, if you don't mind, I want us to do that song again. Because I just want to say something to y'all this morning. First of all, as I said, welcome for you watching online. Welcome to First Pentecostal. I know as we are preparing to go to the Lord in prayer, and we know there's so many situations that we've walked through in our lives, and so many times that we've felt like, where do we go from here? But I want to tell you about my God and my Jesus. He is faithful, and He is there for us. And all preparations that He's provided for us, it's up to us to receive Him into our life and just let Him just guide us. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But right now, I'm going to ask y'all to stand, if you will. We open up this service, and it was just a wonderful time to worship and praise the Lord. Most of all, to hear His mighty word. But as we take a moment right now, I've had an opportunity this last week. And Elaine and I, for our anniversary, and you know, it was a big milestone, 50 years, and it's so wonderful. But as we've reminisced and we've thought about things, that song fits it just so perfectly. God is faithful. He has guided us through so many things that we've gone through, and every situation and times that, even as we've talked about, you think about all the good, but you also think about the times that you didn't even know where to go from here. God is faithful. God is faithful. If you have a prayer request this morning, and with that in mind, I want to ask you truthfully, is there, you have a need, and ask you if you believe in the Almighty God and His faithfulness. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but if you have a prayer need or a situation that you want to lift up to the Lord, He knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love You. Lord, we praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Dear Lord, as we come to You this morning, dear Lord, we just want to honor You. Dear Lord, we want to worship You. Lord, we want to lift You up and put You above anything that's come against us or anything there is. Lord, You are the great I Am, the Creator of all. And dear Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You, Jesus, for that precious blood that You shed for us, dear Lord, that we might be able to come to You. And dear Lord, we just love and we worship You, dear Lord. You see the hands that are raised. Lord, we pray for those that are sick, those needs, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, those things that we just need You to touch right now, dear Lord, to comfort, to guide, to heal, dear Lord, to strengthen. Dear Lord, we pray for those in assisted living and nursing homes. Lord, that You will touch each and every one, dear Lord, and just that You know, and let them feel Your holy presence, dear Lord, for those who are in hospitals, those that are preparing for procedures right now, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we ask You to pray for, we're praying for our family. Lord, we ask You to touch our children, our grandchildren. Lord, we ask for protection and for Your blessings to be upon them. But most of all, dear Lord, that they'll hear Your word and the truth and know that You are the only answer, that You are the great I Am. Dear Lord, we just praise You, we worship You, and we honor You. And dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's sing with the choir this morning. Let's do this song again, but just with that earnest thought of how great God is. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Praise God.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. Courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is
Seated if you can. Praise God. I just love that song. I just thank the Lord for His faithfulness and His mercies. It talks about daily they're new and how wonderful they are, how great God is. Hope everyone's had a wonderful week and doing great this weekend, and just praise the Lord. We just want to love Him. We just want to love on y'all. Just thank you for joining us this morning, whether here live or online or at the later date if you have a chance. I want to praise the Lord right now. We're going to go ahead and continue with our service, and just do want to continue, as we said earlier, we've prayed, but remember the prayer box also. There are a lot of handwritten prayer requests in there. There's a lot of victories in there, a lot of answered prayers, but we know there's still situations going forth. Continue to pray for each other, and we just love you all for your prayer and all that you do. Thank you very much. We got one quick announcement I want to do real quick. This Friday, we're having our quarterly business meeting, January 27th. So if y'all would make plans to join us, it'll be Friday evening over in the Curtis Center. 7 o'clock? I got the pastor said it's 7 o'clock. That's right then. So praise the Lord. 7 p.m. Friday evening over in the Curtis Center, we're having our quarterly business meeting. So y'all plan on joining us and come join us as a church. We've been so blessed. This church is so blessed. And God has just continued. And we also ask that He'll continue to bless our ministries as they go forth. So praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering?
Sinking sand. So I put my ruin
that builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds the house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds the house, nobody can tear it down. Ooh.
The bricks may be weathered through storm and through fire, but what God holds together, it stands firm every time. Solid truth that whatever God's building, no, it can't be moved.
If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds the house, nobody can tear it down.
As for me and my house, we're gonna serve You, Lord. So here's the keys, come on in. Everything we have is Yours.
As for me and my house, we're gonna serve You, Lord. So here's the keys, come on in. Everything we have is Yours.
Well, here's the keys, won't you come on in? Everything we have is Yours.
The Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on His name, there's nothing gonna shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down.
If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down.
Hallelujah.
You gave me beauty for my
what your mercy did for me. And every morning, mercy will restore me. I will pray. Even if the world may fall before me, to call me from the grave. You gave me a real love.
I thank you,
Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living. I've been forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. 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 That's what your mercy did for me.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you thankful for his mercy? Hallelujah. How many's thankful, amen, that God had mercy upon us? One more hand clap for Jesus. Somebody say it's going to be all right.
Hallelujah.
I'll be all right. No matter what I face, I'll be all right. No matter what happens in this world, I'll be all right. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I know that I'm all right. Man, and I know this is not my final abode. How many is thankful for that? Knowing that we got a better place. Man, because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary so that he could make everything all right. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. If those people had the faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief. If you slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. Very soon now I'll reach the hill Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be alright now that I've touched Calvary. If my feeble hand of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief. If you slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. If you slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright now that I've touched Calvary. How many knows it's gonna be alright? Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God.
Thank you, Lord. As I said, doesn't matter what we face, we've got a God that's bigger than any problem, any trouble, any trial that you and I will ever encounter here on this earth. Good to see you this morning. Let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Has God been good to anybody this week? Amen. Such a good God. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of Acts and the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the word this morning? Who knows, the word will set you free. Hallelujah. The word will stand when everything else around us fails or falls by the wayside. In the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to notice on verse 28 and verse 29 concerning the Apostle Paul's testimony before King Agrippa. Acts 26, beginning with verse number 28. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Everybody say with me, fully persuaded. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your Holy Spirit that we feel in this sanctuary this morning. God, let us never, ever take that for granted, but God, help us to be appreciative and so thankful, God, that you care enough not only to save our soul, but to fill us, Lord, with your Spirit, God, to comfort us in our time of sorrow and grief, and to lift us up, God, and to just bless us and anoint us, and we're so thankful for that. It's going to take us an eternity just to love and thank you for all of your blessings. Father, I humbly ask this morning that you would anoint this vessel. God, touch and anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, that you might speak to us. Give us a word, God, that we can hear and obey and be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, our heart goes out to those who are suffering this morning. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Father, from the request of prayers that we've been made to know, I pray, God, that you would reach out and touch in each and every individual case. Heal them, strengthen them, and anoint them. Now, Heavenly Father, just have your way in this service, and we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Fully persuaded. We find the Apostle Paul's testimony here as he was brought before the council and King Agrippa for preaching the Word of God, for talking about his conversion, for talking about Jesus Christ and the death and the burial, the resurrection of the Messiah, the Savior. And it didn't set well with some folks. How many knows that preaching still doesn't set well with folks today? There's some that say, I don't want it, don't want to listen to it. I've heard that story all my life. I just don't want anything to do with preaching or church or anything. I'm glad I'm not that way, aren't you? I can't get enough of it, amen. I can't get enough of the Word of God. I can't get enough of praise and worship. I can't get enough of fellowshipping with the saints of God. It is the greatest thing this side of heaven that we have to look forward to. But the Apostle Paul was apprehended and brought before King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimonies. He is allowed to speak for himself. First of all, Paul's very appreciative that he has his own representation. He's going to speak for himself. Because let me tell you something. There is nobody else that can tell your testimony like you can. You can tell me about it and I can share it with others, but I can't tell it like you can. And you can't tell my testimony like I can. How many knows when God saved us and brought us out of that miry pit of sin, picked us up out of that old miry clay and set us on a solid rock, can nobody tell it like you can, because it happened to you precisely and exactly the way Jesus wanted it to. So Paul is appreciative of the fact that he is declaring his testimony unto King Agrippa. And almost as we could be there and listen to Paul's. First of all, Paul was an expert orator. He could speak very well. He was very intelligent. He was very learned of the scriptures, both in the Roman and the Hebrew. And he began to expound the Word of God and the testimony of his conversion to Christ. I'm often asked, Pastor, how can I witness to people, or what can I say to entice them to serve God? Well, just what I said, your testimony. Tell them what Jesus did for you, because nobody else can tell it like you can. Tell them of the experience and how now you feel better, and how now that you know that if you never see the dawning of another day, you know where you're going to take your journey, and you know that you're going to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul begins to tell of his conversion. He talks about on the road to Damascus and how he was traveling with a group of people and how a great light from heaven shone and it blinded him and fell to the ground, and Jesus began to speak to him. I want to tell you today, if I can't get your attention, if praise and worship can't get your attention, if the Word of God can't get your attention, I pray that Jesus will speak to you. I pray that Jesus will speak to the lost and the undone today. I pray that he would convict their heart and prick their soul as he did the Apostle Paul, and cause him to realize that I need Jesus more than I need anything else in this world. You can have everything else, and if you don't have Jesus, then you really don't have nothing at all. So Jesus began to speak to Paul, and he told him that he wanted him to be a witness to the Gentile nation. And the Apostle Paul went on and he told him how that he gave a very compelling testimony of his conversion, and how Jesus turned his life around, and how everything was different now, and he knew that way that he was headed and the way that he was going was the wrong direction, and he was so thankful now for what the Lord had done for him. And after his testimony, after his compelling story of his conversion, King Agrippa says, you know, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And he was doing nothing but giving his testimony. He didn't declare to him scripture after scripture after scripture. He didn't tell him, you know, you're going to be lost and go to hell. He just merely was so compelling and so convincing with his testimony that it almost made King Agrippa want to change his lifestyle and become a Christian. And he used the word almost. Apostle Paul said, oh, I wish not only thou, but everybody, man, would be compelled to serve the Lord and become a fully persuaded Christian. The definition of the word almost means very nearly, but not quite. Very nearly, but not quite. We use the word almost in a lot of our language today. Probably you have used it as similarly as I have. But almost is not complete. Almost is not a definite. Almost saved is in fact totally lost. You either are or you ain't. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to a place that was never intended for God's people to be. It's a choice that you and I must make. And to be almost persuaded to live for Jesus is not going to get the job done. I begin to think of the Bible and the many characters and the many things that happen in the Bible. And I glean to the scripture. And I'm so thankful to know that God has been with people for ages and ages and ages and caused them to be able to do superficial things, not because they were superhuman, but because they served a super God. You know, I think sometimes, and I know God is not the same mind that we are. He does not have the same thoughts as we do. We're human. Because of that, there's a part of carnality in us, a part of earthly thinking. And many times we just give up and we say, I can't, or I'm not able, or that's not in my ability or my qualifications to do. But I'm so glad that with God, the Bible tells us all things are possible. I want a group of Christians who begin to talk in the positive and not the negative tones. I want to see a church that's on fire for God and say, you know what? I don't care what it is. God's bigger than that. I don't care how bad it is. God can bring us out. I don't care how mad the trials are. God can lift us up above all the trials. Can you say amen this morning? That's how big a God that we serve. And God used people in the Bible. But I thought, hypothetically, I'm not one to ever change a word in the Bible. Not a dot, not a tittle. I mean, knows it's perfect. Doesn't need my editing, nor does it need anybody's editing. We need to read it. We need to understand it. We need to obey it. Can you say amen? That's the word of God, not the word of the pastor, not the word of some congregation, not the word of some organization, but that's the word of God. But hypothetically, think with me this morning, how different things may have transpired, how different things may have been. I don't know if you've ever thought and recollected back in your memories if you'd made different choices or you had gone through different avenues to get to where you are now. And You know, I've heard of people say, I almost did this. Or I almost decided not to do that. Let me tell you one thing that happened to me. And I'm so glad that I didn't back out. Because I almost did. We had a 6-month marriage engagement. I thought that would be plenty of time to get everything ready. Penny hit the ground running. I mean, she started coordinating everything. I looked at material with her and I said, yeah, that's fine. You know, I mean, everything from the photographer, from the cake, from this and from that and all. And in that 6 months, I mean, it was just filled with anticipation and doing those things. And 2 weeks before the date, I had a terrible cold feet episode. I guess that's what they call it. I begin to say, what in the world have you gotten into? See, I was raised in a Pentecostal home, and I was told from the time that I'm dating her, you better find the right one. You're going to have to live with her forever. I want to make sure. And I was sure up until 2 weeks before the wedding, I began to get really, really a bad case of cold feet. Penny was wondering, what in the world's wrong with you? She almost got mad at me. And I said, honey, I just want to be sure. You talking being sure now? Why didn't you say that 6 months ago? I told her, I said, you know, honey, I had a terrible fever the night that I asked you to marry me. Do you remember? We were sitting down at the house, and we were going up to Mother, Mama's and Papa's for their Christmas dinner, and we were sitting there on the couch, and you know, I asked her, I said, honey, do you love me? And she said, yeah, I love you. And I said, I reached down and picked up a ring. I said, do you love me enough to marry me? And she got up off the floor and said, yeah. And do you remember I was running a temperature that night? I was hallucinating, and she said, but you wasn't hallucinating or sick when you went and bought the ring. So my cold feet, and I'm telling you, I'm serious. I'm very serious. I'm thinking, do I want to do this? Am I going to do this? I know I love her. I know that she's the one, but that's forever. And I started backsliding. I started thinking about, let's talk about this. She said, I'm going to tell you what. You better get your act together. Either we're going to do this or we ain't going to do this. I know I want to do it, but I, you know, I almost. And I was still a nervous wreck until the day of the wedding. And my granddaddy was the one that performed the ceremony. And I walked out, and I know I had a glazed look on my face. I looked at the crowd and the family and the friends and all, and they were so beautiful for coming. And I'm thinking, man, if you hit the door now, this is never, you're never going to be able to live this down. So I stood right there. And then they played that music, you know, that music where everybody stands up. I looked back there, and there come Penny through those double doors. And all of a sudden, this is what I want to do. All that fear left me. But prior to that, I almost made the decision to just call this thing off and let it rest a while. I don't know what she said. Been dating for 5 years. How much longer you won't? But that changed my life. And I could not have asked for a better mate. God blessed us and wonderfully. But that's how close I almost came. And I thought the Bible, as we read it, the exploits, the characters, the wonderful things of faith, the mighty acts of Almighty God, and how He worked through people and how He worked through groups of people and individuals. What would have happened if they had almost obeyed God? If they had almost stepped out on faith? If they had almost given their life to God? How terrible it would be when the trumpet sounds and the eastern sky splits, or whether we go by the grave, we're facing the judgment seat of God, and we tell Him, I almost gave you my life. I almost decided to become a born-again Christian. I almost opened up my heart's door. What did I say? Almost is very nearly, but not quite. Almost finishing the line is not winning the prize. Abraham, the friend of God, what if he had almost decided to leave his home and his country and his kindred to a promise that he didn't know where he was going? God didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him his destination. He just said, get rid of all this and go to a place where I will show you. What if he was almost willing? Very nearly, but not quite. And didn't enter into that promise. Didn't become the friend of God. Didn't become the father of the Hebrew nation. Jacob and Isaac and all of those descendants after him would have never happened. Because of one decision, almost. very nearly, not quite. How different would the Bible have been written? And I know God has a purpose and had a plan for everything. And I know God has a man. If one man does not do it, God's going to have somebody to step up. You better be the one if God calls you. And don't let somebody else get your blessing. Don't let somebody else get the thing that God wanted to anoint you with. And I know you use the same excuse that I do. God, I'm not able. God, I'm not qualified. Lord, get somebody else. Use somebody else. They're much better than me. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't say, oops, I thought I had somebody else. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was you. He knows exactly who he's calling and what he's doing. When he pricks your heart with conviction, you better be thankful for it. You know, he's not obligated to call you twice. Thank God he's a God of mercy, as we sung about. He's a God of grace. Thank God he's a God of second chances. What if Joshua, Moses, Noah, what if Noah said, you know what? Got the lumber ready. Got the pitch ready. Can't get nobody to help me but my immediate family. What if it started the ark, never finished it? You see, the race is not to the swiftest, but it's to he that endureth to the end. Don't know about you, but I'm in this way to win. Glory to God. I may not be the fastest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not where I was yesterday either. If I make one little step a day, I'm gaining ground. I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? If you're looking for a better place, give the Lord praise. What if Moses had almost been persuaded at the burning bush? And he did offer excuses, by the way. I'm not a speaker. I'm not an orator. I can't go back to Egypt. I'm a fugitive. But yet, he was fully persuaded. He said, okay. God kept covering every excuse that he made. I'll send your brother. He'll speak for you. I'll be with you. I'll use the staff that you got. If you'll go and you'll tell them, I am sent you. How many is glad to know the I am God? Not the I was God or I will be, but I am God. But what a difference it would have been if Moses had almost been persuaded. Maybe we would have read the story very differently. I think about ministers who stand in the pulpit, and it is such a blessing to know the life of a saint who has left this earth to reach their reward. Isn't that a blessing? I know we grieve. I know we miss them. I know it's saddened. I know it's heartbreak. But we have the assurance to know that the life they lived, and they accepted Jesus Christ, and he was alive and well in their life and their spirit, and we know that they're for an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you'll talk to ministers sometimes, and the family says, well, you know, he almost lived for the Lord. That's a very difficult thing to stand in the pulpit. You know, there's nothing a preacher can do in the pulpit that changes the destination of that dearly departed loved one. I can't preach them into heaven. I can't preach them out of hell. That is a decision that every person must make. How terrible it would be if we said, I almost decided to do that. I almost decided to get my life straight. You know, I've heard people say, preacher, you know, when I get my life straight, I'm gonna come to church and get God. And you won't ever get your life straight. You can't do it. I can't do it. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can straighten out your life. What about Joshua? You know, God sent an angel and told Joshua, said, see, I give you this city. And the walls were completely around Jericho. Not little bitty fences, but great walls. What if Joshua had looked at that and said, there's no way? Almost, very nearly, but not quite. Not going to do any good to walk around that wall. But yet, something in him, something in his obedience said, you know what? I'm going to be fully persuaded to take the word of God against the obstacles, against the barriers. Listen for this one. Against the naysayers. You know who they are.
You can't do that. You're never going to be able to do that. You can't live a saved life. You know, they're full of them out there. They'll tell you this. You know why they're telling you that? Because they can't. And they don't want you to either. Hallelujah. You need to surround your people with positive thinking people, faithful people, Christians by the name. Amen. People that'll love you. People that'll pick you up. People that'll pray for you. People that'll help you. Won't talk about you, but talk to you. Won't say things against you, but pray for you. Amen. Surround yourself with positive thinking people. He was fully persuaded that God said he would do, and he would do what he said he would do. How many believes God will do what he said he would do? Are you fully persuaded or almost persuaded? Very nearly, but not quite. The Bible's full of great patriarchs. But if David had been almost persuaded to fight the giant, you know, odds were against him. Yeah, had three older brothers already there, and not a one of them volunteered to go fight Goliath. Saul was head and shoulders taller than most of the people around him, but he was not going out and fight the giant. He knows they served the same God that David did. The only difference was they were almost persuaded, but David was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that God was going to win the battle, not that he was. You know, and I do the same thing. David killed the giant. No, God did. God gave him the strength to do that. You know, God wants to be honored for the things that he does. Amen. So when you're facing the impossibility and all of a sudden it becomes a possibility and you see your way through it, don't say, look what I've done. Say, look what God did through me. I mean, give him the praise, give him the honor, and give him the glory for everything. But David was fully persuaded that if he went against that giant, that he was absolutely going to be victorious. How many of us have entered into a battle with absolutely no doubt, no concerns or anything, that we knew that God would do what he said he would do? If you enter into that battle, you'll come out victorious. Man. Not us. It's not our ability. It's his ability. But almost. Very nearly. But not quite. You know, I'm not going to say that I've finished every project that I've ever started. I've come close to some. And I have actually finished some. I'm still working on my honey-do list. I have not completed it. And there's a real reason for that. You think about it, men. If you finish and complete that honey-do list, you're not needed anymore. So I call it job security. I'll work two or three of them, and I'll leave four or five of them still undone. And those are the ones, honey, I'll get around to it. But that doesn't work with salvation. That doesn't work with salvation. I almost shudder to think the excuses that God's going to hear judgment day. Because we hear them now. Preachers, you hear them now. Pastors, you hear them now. Sunday school teachers, you hear them now. How many is now or has now or any other time been a supervisor in a supervisory condition or position or a manager in a place? Could you write a book on excuses? Could you not? Oh, man, you could just keep... You're thinking of them right now, aren't you? You're thinking some of the wildest excuses I ever heard in my life. Almost. Very nearly. But not quite. It's going to be so sad. Because God's not going to say, well, come on, enter in. I understand. No. The Bible says he's going to say, depart from me. Workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Almost persuaded. Very nearly. Not quite. How sad that is. That has been ringing in my heart and my soul and my spirit this week. So close. But yet, not fully persuaded. My granddaddy used to share with me so many times that he had witnessed to people and they would promise him and make promises to him. And then listen, you ain't got to promise me anything. I'm going to love you no matter what. I can't save you. cannot save you. I can work with you. I can testify with you. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can lead you to the Lord through the Scriptures. I can't save you. Only the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. Only a repentant and broken, contrite spirit can prepare us to receive the beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost that God has for us. To strengthen us, to give us power, to make us be overcomers. More than conquerors, the Bible says. You're not just a Christian standing by. You're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I am more than a conqueror through Christ. But almost is not good enough. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure as the music began, the horns began to blast, everybody began to kneel down at that pagan god. It is no god. And probably some tugged on the robes of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You better bow. You better bow. You're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace if you don't bow down. Come on, let's face it. Flesh is weak. It probably crossed their minds. Nobody's ever going to know. God forgive me. But you know what? They wasn't almost persuaded. They were fully persuaded. Here's a big difference in almost persuaded and fully persuaded. They were fully persuaded that even if God allowed them to die, they would not bow to that idol. They stood firm. They were bound and cast into the fiery furnace. But God was there with them. It may not be pleasant when we make a commitment that we're going to be fully persuaded. The devil and his adversaries may do everything they can to come against you, to bombard you with fiery darts, to cause you to fall by the wayside. But to those who are fully persuaded, you can use the shield of faith to ward off the fiery darts that come constantly bombarding against us. But if you're only almost persuaded, you're only almost a Christian, if you're only almost saved, then what will be your defense? I'm no match for Satan and his adversaries. But that is within me is more than able. More than able. Give him praise if you know that is within you is greater than anything that can come against you. Go to the New Testament. Peter, John, the other disciples. You know, I always thought what a decision that was that Peter and Andrew made. They were fishing. They didn't know who Jesus was. But this man passed by. And he said, if you'll follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. I'm going to be honest with you. You know how long that would have took me to make a decision? First, I'd had to ask Penny. And then secondly, I'd had to check on my job. Come on. And maybe I would have finished by saying, well, you know what? I almost decided to do that. You know what? I almost decided to be rich in my life. Very nearly. Not quite. Not even very nearly. My daddy used to say, son, I'm working on my second million. I said, really? He said, I give up on my first one. But Peter and John and Andrew just laid their nets down, left their job, left their family, and followed Jesus. Something about him. Can you think about that? There's something about Jesus, isn't there? There's something about somebody who laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for my sin and your sin, to give us the hope of glory, to fill us with his Spirit, to let us know that I love you. Very thankful for a Savior that would die for us. So they were fully persuaded that whatever obstacle, whatever situation came, they were going to follow Jesus. And they did follow him. Finally, leave us with the greatest sacrifice that anyone has ever done in this life.
in this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. We transfer back to Abraham. God knew what He was doing. He told Abraham, He said, take Isaac, your only son. Take him up to a mountain that I'm going to tell you of, and offer him there to me as a sacrifice. The promise, the seed that God had just given him. But yet Abraham was fully persuaded. He took him. Isaac there was toting the wood. Isaac says, you know, we have the wood. Here's the altar, but where is the sacrifice? You imagine the heartbreak that Abraham looked down at his only son. He said, Jehovah Jireh, God will supply. God will supply, son. And he picks that little boy up, lays him on the altar. Imagine the inquisitive eyes that looking up at his father. What are you doing? And not only that, but he raises his hand back with the knife ready to take the very life of his only son. When you think about it, God was not asking him to do anything that he wasn't going to do himself. But he just wanted to make sure that Abraham was fully persuaded. He sent an angel to stay the knife. No. Guess what? Right over there in the bulrush, right over there in the weeds, there was a ram caught in the thickets. And somebody once told me that same thicket was the same thing that they could made a crown of thorns and placed it on Jesus' head. Remember that story before he was crucified? They mocked him, put a robe on him, crowned him with that thorn. It was the same sacrificial lamb. You know what? Abraham was fully persuaded. And Jesus was fully persuaded. There was that time in the garden. He prayed. Oh, he prayed all night long. Went to his disciples. His disciples couldn't pray with him because they were weary. They grew tired and went to sleep. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. The Bible said until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. What cup was he talking about? Don't make me die on the cross. If there's any other way. And he didn't get the answer that he wanted. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? He wasn't almost persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Christian today, stand firm. Mom and dad, stand firm. Young person, stand firm in the salvation that God so graciously blessed us with, and be fully persuaded that the work that God has begun, He will finish it through you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He will, in fact, go all the way. In closing, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. This same Paul, who stood boldly before King Agrippa and gave him his testimony and almost persuaded the king himself to become a Christian, says in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then Paul says, for I am persuaded. I am confident. Not almost persuaded, but I am fully persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I leave you with this morning. Are you fully persuaded? Are you fully convinced? Are you fully serving God? Have you fully give Him abode in your heart and in your spirit? If not, please don't leave this walk of life almost persuaded. Would you stand? Maybe our music, if you would come. Saints of God, would you pray? Everyone in this house, would you bow your heads in reverence to the Spirit of God that is here? Would you please close your eyes and don't be looking around? This is a very serious, very holy matter. As you begin to weigh your life, you know, you and God know exactly where you stand and how you stand. Can you honestly say to yourself, if I take another breath, then I know where I'm going to spend eternity? And if there's a question there, and maybe you're quite near, but not completely. Maybe you're not fully persuaded. Maybe you haven't fully given the Lord full abode in your spirit. This is your opportunity. This is your time to come. If you're here and you're born again and you're saved, maybe you kind of were a little cold. And being cold, you know, God has mercy and He's forgiving, but you really wouldn't want to die in this condition. There's no better time to rededicate your life to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I've kind of been half-hearted about this, but I want to be fully persuaded. This altar's open for you. Praying saints, come on. Pray while God is moving. There's coming now. Some of you elders, if you would, step out and come and pray with these that are in the altar. Strengthen them. Pray with them. Pray for them. While God's Spirit is drawing, is there another one? Is there one that would come down? Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I give you my spirit. Fill me, Lord, not just bless me, but fill me with your spirit.
Surrender all. an announcement. Anybody who's 60 and over that I consider amazing gracers, we're going to go to the movies this coming Saturday, 3 o'clock, to see Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist. And if you're of that age and would like to attend, Amazing Grace will pay for your ticket into the movie. Any food or drink, you'll have to provide yourself. So if you want to go, meet us at the Regal in Carrollton at 2:30. The movie starts at 3. Thank you.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God's word powerful? Praise God. Please surrender. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. You know, as we get ready to part, we just ask you to keep each and every situation in your prayers. We know God's already at work. He's already touching. He's already healing. And by faith, we're declaring it done. Amen. All righty. Love each and every one of you. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Inviting you back for service tonight. Join us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we praise you for your holy presence, dear Lord. We praise your holy name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Dear Lord, we're thanking you. We're praising you for the healings you performed this morning. Lord, for the answered prayers, dear Lord. And we're giving you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Praise God.
Thank you.